Amen. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord today. How many of you have been enjoying this cooler weather? That's three of you. The rest of you hadn't been outside this summer. I'm enjoying it. It is nice. Supposed to be this way for a few more days. I'm excited about that. I want to share a word with you this morning. This has been on my heart for a little while. Not front and center, but it's been on my heart. You ever have those just somewhere back there and it just kind of pops up every now and then, and you just, and eventually gets to the point where you say, well, that, okay, there it is. I want to talk to you about peace. We are in the middle of one of the most divided times in America. Politically, religiously, race, financially, everything. It's just a division, and you could almost draw a line straight down through the middle of it. So I know for me, I'm going to preach a little bit from me, if that's okay, because I know me better than I know anybody. And how to deal with things when there's the lack of peace. Have you ever been without peace in your life? I have. And so I want to talk to you, and I know I can help you with this because it's helped me, and I find this in Scripture. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 8. Who was here Wednesday? Who was here Wednesday? Boy, was that not good Wednesday. Glory to God. Look, you're missing. If you don't come on Wednesday, you're just missing it. I'm just telling you, there's so much going on. Man, that was a great testimony that we had. And, oh, my goodness. I told Tina, and I may have told somebody, maybe it was Ralph. He called me the other day. If we don't slow down on Wednesday, we're going to have more Wednesday nights in the sanctuary than we do on Sundays. We had 80 in this sanctuary class, 79, but amen. On Wednesday. Amen. Man, there's some good stuff. And the kids, that's not counting the kids. They're just everywhere. Glory to God, they're everywhere. Y'all are biblical. You're being fruitful and multiplying. Glory. Amen. Matthew chapter 8. Starting at verse 23, Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. I'll read, maybe I'll jump back and forth from New King James. I don't know where I'm going to go with this blade, but I'm going to maybe King James, New King James, whatever. Verse 23 says, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. He saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there arose a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey? Now, I tell you, I read the Bible a little different. So let me paint this story. The disciples and Jesus, they're in a boat. He had just left a great conference, and God was there, literally. Some of you are going to get that, okay. And man, it was awesome. They had a great offering, had a great meal afterwards. Everything's going great. Man, the disciples they're on cloud nine saying, look who we get to hang out with. If Jesus is here, he's in the boat. Let's put him to bed. And he goes down to the bottom of the ship and he goes to sleep. And there arises a storm. Now, I don't know about you, but when you read the King James, you got to do a little word study to figure out some of these words. There was a tempest. First thing caught to come into my mind, there was a woman on the ship. No, I'm kidding. Some of y'all get, some of you men getting it, some of you want to get it, and your wife's sitting there, you're going, Call me later. There was a tempest. I want to tell you what a tempest is. A tempest says, behold, there arose in verse 24, a great tempest. That word is a commotion, a shaking, violent disruption. You ever had life throw you a little shaking? You ever had life throw you a little commotion? You ever had life just throw you a violent disruption? Well, then good, you're here today on purpose. Because the Bible says that, see, if you look at the disciples, they had just left this great conference, great revival. And just a few hours later, a commotion, a shaking, something happens that stirred them and moved them from their faith. I've been there. And it says that this commotion, this waves, this storm was so bad that it began to come into the boat. Now, I want you to know, they didn't have bilge pumps in Jesus' day. They had buckets. And it says that it began to overcome the ship, and they got nervous. You ever been on a boat and you sprung a leak and you get nervous? First thing you do is start looking for the life jackets and realize you got one too less. And you wondering which one of these people you don't like the most. Come on, somebody. And you get a little nervous and you're thinking, okay, calm down. Take a couple of breaths. Everybody get your life jacket on. How far are we from the bank? Wonder how deep the water is. Do we see a boat close by? Those things start, those are natural things. You're thinking what? What are you doing? You're thinking of a way out of the mess. You're trying to figure out, how can I get out of this? Because I'm not in trouble yet, but it appears as the water is now ankle deep that the bilge pump cannot keep up. And you're wondering, what's the next move here? When do I start throwing the kids overboard with their life jackets? Come on. And the disciples found themselves in love with Jesus, coming from a revival meeting. Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the boat, and they find themselves frantic in a panic. What are we going to do now? So here's what happens. And I like this. Can I just read 24 again? And behold, there arose a great tempest, commotion, a shaking, violent disruption in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. I want to talk to you about peace. See, in the middle of their storm, he was asleep. If you understand that in the middle of your storm, he's okay. He's calm. He's got this. We start getting in these frantic moments because we forget in whom we have our trust. And his disciples came to him. You know, like we do. After the buckets aren't working. After there's not enough life jackets, after we realize we're too far from the shore to swim, after we realize it's already now, it's knee-deep water, you think we ought to go get Jesus? You think we ought to call on him now? So they go and get Jesus. The disciples came to him and woke him up. He's still asleep. Saying, Lord, save us. We perish. I mean, they got it, we're dying. This is the end. Come on, don't look at me like you never told yourself this. This is the end. We don't know how to get out of this. This is over. I mean, I'm done. I've been there. It says, we perish. And then look at verse 26. He said unto them, why are you fearful? I don't really know how I'd be around God, but I think I would probably have something sarcastic to say right there. Well, you were asleep. We've been bailing water. Have you looked outside? Oh, no, you were asleep. There's this major storm, this commotion, this, my life is unraveling. Where have you been? Oh, you've been asleep on me. Come on, we do God this way. See, here's how, the point is, they've done all they can do, and then they're mad at God because he didn't do something earlier. Well, maybe if you'd have come to God first, he would have done something earlier, and you wouldn't be so frustrated. There's a way to get peace, and I'm going to show it to you, okay? And he says this, well, why are you fearful? We can go through our list. Oh, you have little faith. Then he kind of gets on to him for not having any faith. Wait a minute, we were just in the revival meeting with you. A bunch of people got healed, set free. We fed a bunch of people just a few hours ago. What do you mean I don't have any faith? I'm out here on this boat with you, and you say I don't have faith? He said, oh, you have little faith. Here's the problem, that we want to put our faith and our trust in things. When your finances are going good, you have your trust in your finances. When your health is good, you have your trust in the doctors or medication, or everything's good, nothing's bothering me. When all your relationships are right, you think, well, I'm just a good person, everybody likes me. But it's when those things start falling apart. It's when the storms of life come, when the commotion, the violent shaking, the disruption comes in life. We have to understand one thing. I started to say one thing. That's two. One thing. We have to get this settled. Where is your trust? In what is your trust? In whom is your trust? Is it in those things? See, the disciples first put their trust in a bucket. They first put their trust in their ability to sail a ship. They know how. They were fishermen. They had been on a ship on a wavy, in a storm before. This wasn't the first one. It's all they've done all their life. They were used to some high waves. They were used to some winds. They were used to crosswinds. They were used to these things. Yet in this moment, with God so close to them, right next to them, something happened. They lost their faith. They put their trust in their abilities to sail a ship. Wrong move. We've all been there. I've been there more than once. Watch this. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. When you get involved, when you get Jesus involved in your life, he can take a violent disruption and bring great calm. Let me say it over here. When you get Jesus involved in your life, in your commotion, you get him in, he can bring great calm. Amen. All right, rest of y'all catch this, okay? So, do you see what happened? The storm didn't change. The people on the boat didn't change. Their process of what they didn't change. What changed was they refocused where their trust was. It was in the one that was in the bottom of the ship that had no fear. He was asleep. He's good. And they say, well, whatever he's got, I'll take. Make it two. He gets up and he speaks to the storm and great calm. Now, years ago, I used to love to water ski. Man. And early in the mornings, when the water was like glass, I mean, it's like if you could lay on, you could see straight across, no ripples whatsoever. It was just so perfect for skiing. Even slalom skiing was just, that was the best. David could ski. David, you remember those, don't you? He's back there going, yeah. You're not that young anymore, don't do it. And so, that's why I don't. But David, could you barefoot ski? But David could barefoot ski. Woo, 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 woo. Conditions got to be right for that, don't they? A great calm, something so great that you really, you can't paint a picture of it, really. The best you can get is the great disruption and all of a sudden calm. Watch. Verse 27, but the men marveled, saying, what men? The men on the boat. Oh, the men that had prayer before the revival service. Oh, the men that were serving in the church, those men that were with Jesus, those men that set up the revival meeting, those men that done all the media, those men that done the worship, those men. When Jesus spoke and it became calm, they marveled. I think it's time that we as people start marveling at God, but we won't marvel until we let him take over. Till we say, Lord, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I need you to speak to my storm. I've already tried everything I know. I've thrown enough money at it. I've thrown enough pills at it and drugs at it or whatever. I have thrown enough love at the relationship, and it's just not working. And I need you, Lord, because I'm relinquishing all authority, all rights to you. And I need you to speak to my storm. I'm thoroughly convinced that a lot of our storms would never be as big as they are if we would have let God do them in the beginning. As a matter of fact, I'll say that you won't really go through that many storms. You're going to go through storms because the Bible says you will. You won't go through as many. Because I'm my own worst enemy. I'm more of a problem for me than you are for me. What manner, and when they marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Who is this guy? It's hard for us to really get our minds right. The disciples are saying this about Jesus. Not the guy that just got saved at the revival meeting on the beach. The disciples, here's what I take from that. You may be really close to God, but till you get in your heart and you get in your spirit that he is Jehovah Jireh, your provider, your everything, there's still something you can learn from God and about God. Amen. So, the winds and the sea obey. What we see is a display of Jesus' authority. My daddy would never talk to just a banker when he was in business. And he said, I want to talk to the guy at the top. I want to talk to the guy to give me the answer. Well, that's pretty good. He wants to talk to the guy that can say yes or say no. Cut through all the stuff. You running back over here. Tell him, can you or can you not? Jesus has authority, but see, you've got to know that he's got the authority. Jesus got a name tag, but until you get in God's word and you study God's word and you experience God through your life trials, you don't know that he's got all authority. You don't know that's one of his titles. So watch this. I want to show you a couple of things. So in order for, and I'm going to hurry. I've got 8 minutes or 80 minutes or something. I can't really. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, I want to show you that Christ got the authority to speak to a sea and the winds, to this great tempest. That's what I want to show you. Because if I can get you to understand that he has the power over a sea and wind, he's got power over your situation. Amen. He's got authority over your situation. You may not have. You may be in disarray and unravel like a piece of yarn, but he is in charge. Now watch. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison." This is during the resurrection time, from the cross to the resurrection. Verse 20 says, "Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah." He was long-suffering. He was drawing people to him during the days of Noah. That's another message. "While the ark was being prepared, in which a few," that is eight souls, "were saved through water." Look, if he'll hang out for eight, he'll hang out for you. If he'll wait on the whole world and then wait on those eight to come, he'll wait on you. Verse 20 to skip to 22 says, "Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God," watch, "angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him." Amen. This great tempest was powerful. Probably no doubt that it was stirred up by Satan himself to put fear into people. And the Bible says that he has been given this power, or all powers, authorities, angels, everything has been made subject to him. If it's subject to him, he's over it. He has authority to tell it to be still. He has the authority to dissipate it. Look at Matthew 28:19. "And Jesus came," if that wasn't clear enough for you, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying," all authority, how much? "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." Where do you live? Yeah. He's got all authority there and here. You got to understand that your heavenly Father has the authority to help you in your situation. He has the authority to help you avoid certain situations if you'll go to him first. I am talking about peace. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we're healed." Peace came as well as salvation through the cross. There's peace. You should operate and live and walk in peace. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. In other words, he wants you to walk and operate in peace. I don't know if many of you pay attention, but when you leave, I bless you every week. The very last thing I say is, "Lord, blanket their rooftops with peace, so that they may find sweet sleep to their souls and to their fleshly bodies." That is not to fill time. I'm hungry like you. We'll just go. Because I know that we live in a time where there's just unrest and uneasiness between a husband and wives because of kids and the pull of finances and relationships. And you feel like you got to do this and you got to do that. And praise God for Facebook that helps us so much. We see these people wearing or driving or doing this, and we feel like some reason we're entitled to be able to do that too, because you know where they work, how much they make. Don't look at Facebook highlights and compare your real life to that. That's a joke. I want to go there real quick and I'm going to move on because I got to hurry. You ever see those people on Facebook and they take a picture of themselves and says they have updated their profile, and you look at it and you think, that ain't them. I saw them a while ago in the restaurant. That is not them. Where's that big wart right between their eyes? I mean, come on, that ain't them. Come on, somebody. Watch this. in Philippians, y'all don't have this one, but Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, not a peace of God, the peace, P-E-A-C-E, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and what? Your minds through Christ Jesus. Let me give you a little definitions here of this. I shared this with some of the guys earlier this morning in my office. The peace of God which passes, that word passes means superior in rank, over the top. That's what it means. His peace is over the top. It supersedes any fear that you may have. His peace, if you allow it, passes all understanding. The word understanding means all of the knowledge, all of the natural things, the feelings, purposes, or desires. When you get yourself in the middle of a battle, when you get yourself in the middle of a storm, your feelings, your desires, your intellect, it all kicks in trying to figure out how we're going to fix this. And God says, let the peace of God override, overrule, reign, be top. Hallelujah. Over your feelings, over your understandings, over those things that you perceive to be. No, God, what do you say about it? You can only allow God this to happen, this verse to come alive in your life, if you put your trust in God. If you say, Lord, my trust is not in finances. My trust is not in you fill in the blank. My trust is in you. What do you say about it, God? I need your peace that overlays all of my fears, my doubts, my intellect, all of the things that I can do within me. Watch this. It says, and it shall keep your hearts. Here's what the peace of God does. When you trust in him, that word keep simply means one word, to guard. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just put our trust and our faith in God in every situation and say, you guard it. I watched shows, I watched here a while back, Clint Eastwood. Glory to God, some of you don't like Clint Eastwood, but it wasn't a Western either. It was In the Line of Fire. How many of you remember that movie? Came out 100 years ago, whatever it was. And when the president went somewhere, they posted someone outside the hotel in the front, in the hallways. Unlike they do now, they let them get shot. Oh, did I say that? Glory to God. I just came right out of there, just... just happened. I'm sorry. In Jesus' name, I'm sorry. But it's truth. Come on. Don't do it, Mar. Just go on. So they post them outside his where he's staying in the room or whatever. As a guard, nobody can come in. Wouldn't it be nice in the middle of your storm that when you see that wave begin to rise up in a situation or a potential situation, it don't have to be a potential situation, that you just turn everything over to God and say, God, now I want you to guard this situation. Guard my feelings. Woo. Guard my intellect, my heart. Guard everything that would make me think something different, do something different, act different, or put my trust somewhere else. Guard my heart. You guard it, Lord. He said that in the Word of God. He said he's your rear guard. He's your strong tower. He's your fortress that you run to. What more do we need to get to understand that he has your best interest at heart? To keep your hearts and your minds, here's the key, through Christ Jesus. If you're not putting your trust and your faith concerning a situation in Christ, you're going to be messed up. You know those people, don't hurry, I'm going to hurry, I really am. You know those people that it's woe is me? I mean, they can be climbing out of a pit and doing good, and it's still woe is me. They don't have the peace of God. I faced a lot of adversity and things in my life that had it not been for God, I'd be a basket case. But I have to remind myself, can I get someone to come to the piano just real quick? You knew that was going to happen, didn't you? You just got Kennedy, didn't you? Yeah. Oh, you didn't? Okay. Glory to God. I have to remind myself where my trust lies. My trust doesn't lie in, is that right? Or lay. My wife's English. Is that lay or lay? You don't know. You don't care. He said lie. Okay. Ethan said, yeah. My trust doesn't lay in what's in the bank account. Amen. Sometimes you get to thinking, how's this going to work? And, oh, what are we going to, well, we could do this, and we could sell this, and we could do this, and we could move this over here. And who could we ask for money? Come on, those things run through your mind. How am I going to get out of this mess? Whoa, back and put the brakes on. Wait, my trust doesn't lie in any of that. My trust lies that God said that he clothed the sparrows and he knows when one falls and he clothed them and he's going to take care of me. Matthew says it. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and I'll add everything else that you need. He said, aren't you more valuable than these? Meaning the birds. Oh, I think I am. See, don't put your trust in that. Don't put your trust in a relationship, in a person. Put your trust in God. God, is this the one for me? Lord, did you bring her or him into my life? Or is this just something that I want? Come on, somebody. If you put your trust in him, he will guard your heart. He'll guard your mind. He will give you the peace that you never thought possible to operate in. I used to get shaken some. I don't get shaken very much anymore. Just, I don't need that. I'm already on blood pressure pills. I don't need that. Come on, somebody. Send that right on down the road to exit off at hell somewhere, but I don't need that. Here's the cost of having peace, though. There is a cost to have peace in your life. The reason there's so much unrest and no peace is because there's a cost to follow Christ. Watch what the Bible says. In Matthew, just previously to that, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 18, and now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. See, this is where he says, okay, we're done with this revival meeting. They ain't getting it. We're moving. And he says, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow you wherever so you go. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. There's a cost. There's a cost for following Christ. But when you follow Christ, the gains are absolutely amazing. When you follow Christ, when you give up your desires, your thoughts, what you believe in is going to make you happy and say, here I am, then all of a sudden the peace of God that passes all understanding floods your heart and floods your soul. So I want to challenge you, if you're going through something in life, there's something you're dealing with that's tugging at you, try giving it to God. But don't blame God because you're in it. And don't blame God if it takes you a little bit to get out of it. Because he didn't put you there, probably. Sometimes it's just decisions. Put your hope in Christ. not in the things of the world, in Christ. And watch him do the song we sing here, God, turn this thing around. God, turn it around. Amen. Will you stand with me across this building? Every head bowed and every eye closed in this building, please. You're in this room today. You say, Pastor, my spirit, my soul is at unrest. It's just, I'm just, it's like a boiling pot of water. It just top to bottom, it's just messed up. Will you pray for me, Pastor? Will you pray for me this week? I need help putting my trust in God. Will you pray for me? Will you just raise your hand? Yes, 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 yes. Are there any others? Yes, I see that hand over here. Yes, yes. Wow. Yes, I see that hand back there. Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whew, I feel the Holy Spirit here in this place today. If that's you and you want prayer, you don't have to come, but if you want prayer, I want to pray with you this morning. I want to pray with you about your situation. Help you put your trust in. If that's you, I want you to make your way to the front right now. Just come. You don't have to come, but I want to encourage you. If you're in the middle, if it's bad enough, I want you to come. I want you to come down here to these altars. I need some prayer people up here helping me. So many are coming. So many are coming. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just begin to talk to him. If you're up here at the front and you need prayer, just begin to turn this thing over to him. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I put my trust in what I could do and my abilities and my talents, but Lord, today I think I'm just going to cash in all my chips and I'm going to slide them over to you and I want you to take over. Just begin to prepare your heart right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. I feel a sweet, sweet spirit. Almost, it's a spirit as if God's saying, I'll guard you from here on. I'll take over from here. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we put our trust in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Whoo. Peace like a river. Peace over situations, over circumstances. Peace. Peace. Calm every fear, every doubt. Whoo. Peace, 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 peace. Peace right now, Lord. Peace to flood our souls. Lord, we relinquish every talent to you, for you to use it, Lord. Our abilities, our anointings, Lord, they're yours. Use us, God. Lord, give peace in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the raging sea in our lives. Give peace right now, Lord. We ask for peace. Peace that passes all understanding. That peace that passes all understanding. We relinquish our rights to govern this situation anymore. We step aside and say, Lord, we're sorry for not trusting in you in the beginning, but Lord, it's yours, and I put my trust and my hope and my faith in you. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Peace. 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 I speak peace over you in the name of Jesus. Peace that sustains. Peace, peace. Peace. Whew. Wonderful, wonderful peace. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. May we first trust in you. Fear, every doubt, calmness reign in your spirit in the name of Jesus. Calm, a great calm to come upon you in the name of Jesus. Calm his thoughts, his spirit, his desires. Calm those in the name of Jesus. A great calm to come upon you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Did I miss anyone? Did anyone come up and need to be prayer? I just feel like the Holy Spirit is... Oh, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord. No, you stay seated. I'll get down here where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names, that name of Jesus, I pray for peace to come upon his mind, upon his body, upon his dwelling in the name of Jesus. Peace to come upon those that bring disarray and confusion in his life. I pray for peace, a great calm, a great calm to come upon his family in the name of Jesus. A spirit of calmness go before him. Before he opens a door, let calmness enter in. When he closes the door, let calmness, let the peace of God stand guard. Lord, over every door of his home, over every rooftop, Lord, let the peace of God be his strong tower, his fortress, his shield. Over his family. Ooh. A great calm. A calm that he doesn't even understand when he puts his trust in you to take care of a situation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peace. Calmness. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes you can just hang around church and watch it show up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, when God does stuff like this, it's like, you've seen those things where people, they just do it, have an outstanding performance, they do something off the chain, and then they get up and say, well, how do you come behind that? That's kind of the way I feel when God does stuff. How do you just, so we just close and go in this spirit. Take this with you. It's not just here. You can take it with you. Oh, there is calmness in the house of the Lord. Don't get me wrong. But you can take it with you. He's God, Emmanuel, God with you wherever you are. Amen. Let me bless you. Father, I bless your people. I pray that we would find favor with God and with man. I pray that increase, job promotions, raises would come our way. And I pray for your peace to blanket every rooftop, that when we lay down today or tonight or this week, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. And we ask this in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. God bless you.